Well, good morning. Nope, sorry. Good afternoon, beloved. It's Wednesday, May the 27th, about almost 2:30 in the afternoon. Can you believe that we are at the end of May already? I don't know where this month has gone so quickly, and we've all been in home isolation too. Maybe it hasn't been so quick for you, but through it all, we continue to trust the Lord Jesus to keep us and protect us and help us through these strange days. I trust you are doing well. We may be closer to getting back together again, but it doesn't seem that it's going to happen tomorrow. I am trusting our Premier will do the right thing and relax the group numbers to a more reasonable number than five. So let's pray that that he will. Here's a few items for your interest in this midweek service. Number one, Mark Berry's son, Wayne, we know, passed away last week, and the funeral service is being held this Friday up in Parry Sound. So please pray for safety for Marg and her daughter, Lisa, and other members of the family as they travel back up to Parry Sound. Pray also for Wayne's wife, Lynn, his daughters, Melissa and Sarah, and his grandchildren, Scott, Nash, and Lily. Please also pray for Wayne's siblings, Brian, Sean, and Lisa, and of course his mom, Marg. Praise the Lord, Wayne knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior and is today in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven. And we also ask that you would pray for the funeral service, that the Lord would be honored and the gospel preached this Friday. Secondly, our neighbors, Jay and Liz, have sent out a message that their newborn son, Theodore, had heart surgery on Monday and came through the surgery very well. The doctors were pleased with the operation, and the left side of the heart, which was the problem, is now working properly. He will be in hospital yet for a little while longer, but seems to be doing a whole lot better. Praise the Lord for that. And thank you for your prayers for the Wright family. They are believers in Christ and have trusted the Lord all through this journey with Theodore. They are appreciative of those who have been praying for them as well. Thirdly, I just read that Premier Ford has extended emergency measures now to June the 9th, another 2 weeks. Group gatherings still restricted to five people. It seems unfair to limit groups to five with so many other businesses now reopened. But let's pray that the Lord will work in his heart to increase the group number restriction. We will still trust the Lord in all of this, knowing his time and his way is perfect, and we will abide in him for all of this restriction. And lastly, just a reminder that Greg and Amanda Little and the family are missionaries of the month, and trust that you are keeping them in your prayers on your own quiet time day by day. And of course, we are praying for each other in these days. I have prayed for you all this morning, and trust that you are all doing well. Let's just take a moment to pray. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We thank you for your watchful care over each one of us in these difficult and strange days. We thank you for who you are and how you have revealed yourself to us in your word. We are praying for the funeral service for Marg and the family this Friday. We pray for safety of travel, as Marg and Lisa will be leaving early Friday morning, and the rest of the family sometime, I suspect. We trust that you will bless them, that you will encourage their hearts. We know that Marg is, as she says, doing really well in all of this, because she knows where Wayne is today, and that is a great relief and a joy to know that our sons and daughters and loved ones are with the Lord when they pass away. Pray that the funeral service will go well, that the Word of God will reach into hearts and lives and make an impact for them and drawing them to Christ. We thank you for the good success of surgery for Theodore. Thank you for Liz and Jay and their trust in you through all of this, and for the good report that they were able to give. And now we pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with this little lad and make that heart work even better and to improve each and every day. Look forward to the day when we will be able to see them back home across the street and be able to rejoice with them in this new little life. We also pray for our government, those who are in authority over us, the powers that be. We pray, Lord, that you would give good wisdom and common sense in making some of their decisions that impact everybody in this province and in this country and this world. We do pray that their restrictions on the number of people in a group might be lifted and increased. And we pray that you will continue to work in the thinking and the deliberations of those who make these decisions, that this would be a proper number and way to go for the future. Even to have 25 people, Lord, would be a great help and blessing to us here at Berean. Finally, we pray for the Littles. We thank you for them. We know that they are still in Nova Scotia and I'm sure missing their own people down in St. Lucia and the church. But we ask that you will continue to undertake for them. Bless, guide, and direct in their lives and the contact that they're able to have with the church down in St. Lucia, and that you will just provide for them all that would be needful just now until they're able to get back down there. Thank you also for your word and the opportunity to read it, to study it. Pray that you'll be with us now and open up your word to our hearts, minds, and understanding as we look at this passage before us. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We left off last time with verse 7, at verse 7, with an explanation of who the, quote, he that letteth will let is. So let me just give a brief review of this phrase. We considered the words let. It is a proper English word that means to restrain, hinder, delay, and impede. And although that meaning is now obsolete and not used except in legal contracts, it is still a proper English word. The Greek word for let is exactly the same Greek word for withholdeth in verse 6. Why the translators used two different English words, I don't know. But it might have been because of the two different personal pronouns that are involved with those terms, the what of verse 6 and the he of verse 7, but I don't know for sure. Remember that the what of verse 6 is in a neuter gender, and the he in verse 7 is obviously masculine. And so the restrainer is both a what and a he. And the only thing in all of God's creation that fits both the neuter and masculine pronoun is, as we suggested to you last time, the Holy Spirit. The term spirit is a neuter gender term in Greek, and of course the masculine gender is used of the Holy Spirit in several places in John's Gospel. We looked at some of them last time. And we also refer to the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity. He is a person. So, we left off last time with the question, how does the Holy Spirit restrain or hold back the revelation of the man of sin / Antichrist? I hope to answer that question today. So, consider now the statement of the Lord Jesus to his disciples in John 14, verse 17. You can look it up if you want or just listen. The verse says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. You will notice the personal pronoun used for the Spirit of truth, he and him, showing that the Holy Spirit is indeed a person and masculine gender. Now, Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit, at that time, dwelleth with you, as he says in this verse, but in a future time he shall be in you. What did Jesus mean by this statement? Well, at that time, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people for service for the Lord, but it was not a permanent dwelling. But Jesus indicated that at a future time, the Holy Spirit would actually indwell the believer in Christ, and that would be for the purpose of identifying that believer as a child of God, a part of the family of God, saved and born again for eternity, a saint before God himself. And when did that indwelling take place? Well, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, tells us that the day of Pentecost, in the year that Jesus died, was buried, rose again from the dead on the third day, and ascended back into heaven, that day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came to indwell those 120 believers in that upper room. And then each and every believer in Christ since that day is also indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Also, every believer in Christ with the indwelling Holy Spirit is part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His body today. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, we read, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, and whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." And also in Colossians 1:18, we read, "And He," that is Christ, "is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." So in our day and age, the Holy Spirit indwells the believer in Christ, who is a part of the church. This is the place of the Holy Spirit today, in the church, through all true born-again believers in Christ. Now, back in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, the phrase, "He that now letteth will let," must be the Holy Spirit in the church. The Believer's Bible Commentary makes this statement: "The Holy Spirit indwelling the church and the individual believer seems to fit the description of the restrainer more completely and accurately than any of the others," that is, other interpretations that they had mentioned in their comments section. And then they said, quote, "Paul wrote, 'The mystery of lawlessness was already at work. By this we understand that a tremendous spirit of disobedience to God was already stirring beneath the surface. It was at work in mystery form, not that it was mysterious, but rather that it was not yet fully manifested. It was still in germ form. What has hindered the full display of this spirit? We believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling the church and indwelling every believer has been the restraining power, and He will continue to exercise this function until He is taken out of the way," that is, at the rapture, end quote. That is what I believe Paul is talking about here. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit in the church. Now, how does the Holy Spirit / church restrain the mystery of iniquity and the revelation of the man of sin, or Antichrist? Well, let's think about it for a moment. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught an amazing principle for believers. Following His lesson on the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, Jesus then taught about His disciples being salt and light in the world. In Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, we read, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Believer's Bible Commentary makes this statement: "It is by the indwelling Spirit that believers are the salt of the earth," Matthew 5:13, "and the light of the world," in Matthew 5:12. Salt is a preservative, but it also hinders the spread of corruption. Light dispels darkness, the sphere in which men love to perform their evil deeds, according to John 3:19, which says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." When the Holy Spirit leaves the world as the permanent indweller of the church, 1 Corinthians 3:16, and of the individual believer, 1 Corinthians 6:19, then the restraint of lawlessness will be gone, end quote. And so, the withholding or restraining of the mystery of iniquity in the man of sin slash antichrist is the true church of Jesus Christ in this old sinful world today. This is the church age in God's plan for the ages. And the church age will end with the rapture of the church, which means all believers in Christ will be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. We will depart this old world. Those who have died in Christ since the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church, will have their bodies resurrected and join up with their souls and spirits, which will come with Christ to the clouds of the air. And any of us who happen to be still alive at the time of Christ's coming will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. In other words, every true believer in Christ, which is also the true church of Jesus Christ, will depart from this world to be with Christ forevermore. And in the removal of the church, the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit will also be removed. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul wrote that this one who is letting or restraining will do so until he be taken out of the way. This phrase, taken out of the way, sounds very much like the idea Paul mentions in verse 3 with the phrase falling away. Recall that the Greek word translated falling away in verse 3 is apostasia, from which we get our English word apostasy. You will perhaps need to go back and listen to the message from 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 again for the details. But let me just mention now that the Greek word apostasia means to depart. It is a departure. And given that there is no object with the Greek word, and given that the Greek text has the article with the term, we suggest that what Paul was writing about was the departure. In other words, the rapture of the church. And that compares with his statement and his phrase in verse 7, taken out of the way. So may I submit for your consideration that verse 7 complements and supports verse 3 to be the rapture of the church. That, of course, is where we stand as a local church. It is a fundamental doctrine we hold to here at Berean Baptist. In fact, we hold so strongly to the doctrine of the rapture of the church, the pre-mill, pre-trib rapture of the church, that we have put it right into our statement of the faith that we all must agree to. So, when the church is raptured, all restraint of iniquity or lawlessness will be removed. The man of sin, Antichrist, will be revealed after the rapture takes place, and then the most horrible time mankind has ever experienced will begin on planet Earth. The seven-year tribulation, called the time of Jacob's trouble, referencing the 70th week of Daniel, and in the middle of it, from the middle to the end, the great tribulation. A most awful, horrendous, wicked, evil time that the world has ever experienced. Oh, the tribulation period will begin with peace and safety as the Antichrist makes a peace covenant with Israel for 7 years. But it is only the calm before the storm. For halfway through, 3.5 years in, Antichrist will break that covenant and install himself as God in the temple, causing all the world to worship him as God. Many people today consider the coronavirus plague to be just awful, and many, many are fearful of getting that virus. Now, while many people have died from COVID-19, and that is certainly sad, the number of deaths from COVID-19 nowhere compares to the number of people who have died from, example, cancer. 3,319,446 people have died from cancer already this year. Many hundreds of thousands of people have died from HIV, from malaria, even smoking. Over 2 million people have died from smoking. Over 1 million people have died because of alcohol. 545,594 people have died in traffic accidents, and suicides account for 433,416 deaths so far this year. And, of course, the worst of all deaths is abortion at over 17 million abortions, 17 million murders of innocent lives of babies so far this year worldwide. So far, there have been 354,762 deaths by COVID-19. And that number is even suspect as being much higher than what the truth really is. In the tribulation, more than one-third of the world's population is going to die in the plagues and disasters and executions and judgments that will come by Antichrist and by God's judgments upon this world. It's going to be just an awful, horrible time. People think it's bad today. This is nothing like it's going to be when the man of sin takes over the rule of the world. In just a few verses in 2 Thessalonians 2, actually in verse 9, Paul tells of the real power behind the man of sin, the wicked one. It is none other than Satan himself. And we'll look at this a little bit more next time. But the Holy Spirit in the church is restraining wickedness and lawlessness today. It is not as bad today as it could be, since the Holy Spirit is restraining that lawlessness today. But then, he will be taken out of the way. The church will be raptured. And then the full bore of wickedness will begin on earth under the Antichrist, empowered by the devil himself. So before we conclude our study for today, let me address a concern that some people have about the Holy Spirit being removed from the earth. Now, please keep in mind that it will be the Holy Spirit indwelling believers and the church that is removed. But the Holy Spirit himself will not leave this earth. Rather, his ministry will revert back to what it was before the church was born, back to the ministry of being with people, of coming upon certain people, anointing some for service and for work for God, just as he did in Old Testament times and up until the birth of the church. Just as the Holy Spirit came upon certain individuals in the Old Testament to empower them to some service for God, it was not a permanent indwelling for them, as it was and is for the church of today and believers in Christ. Such as with King Saul and David, the Spirit of God came upon them to empower them to serve as king and rulers in Israel. Same with the prophets of old. So too in the tribulation, the Holy Spirit will be at work, still convicting mankind of sin, righteousness, and judgment, part of his ministry in John 16, verse 8. He will still come upon some for service, like the 144,000 Jews in the tribulation period who will be anointed to serve, and the two witnesses that will come on the scene in the middle of the tribulation. The Spirit of God will empower them to that service as well. We know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, and we'll still have ministry in the tribulation period. It just won't be a restraining ministry anymore. Now, next time, we'll dig into verses 8 through 10 of 2 Thessalonians 2 and the program of the Antichrist and God's judgment upon him and those who will perish. So, till next time, beloved, keep reading, keep studying, be well, trust the Lord, keep listening for that trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel calling us up to meet the Lord in the air. What a great day that is going to be. Bye for now. God bless.